Church Life Today podcast is a production of Redeemer Radio and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
Welcome to Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame. I'm your host, Leonard DiLorenzo. In his 2018 World Communications Day address, Pope Francis spoke to the importance and dignity of journalism and the now widespread, much talked about problem of fake news. Against that backdrop, the Holy Father recalled the promise of Jesus that the truth will set us free. Wouldn't we all like a little more truth in our world, over our airwaves and online? But how do we find the truth we seek? That search must begin with prayer. And so Pope Francis offered a new version of an old, beloved prayer popularly attributed to his namesake, Saint Francis of Assisi. Pope Francis concluded his message by asking that the Lord make us instruments of his peace, and then went line by line through the saint's prayer to mold it to the needs of our time for good, reliable, personal, and true communication. Our guest today was so taken with this message of Pope Francis and his renewed Franciscan prayer that he wrote a book about it. Bill Schmidt is a longtime journalist and communications specialist who also happens to be a Third Order Franciscan. He is here with us to talk about journalism, noise and silence, information and formation, and his book, When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer? Bill, welcome to the show.
It's a very good thing to be here with you, Lenny.
So, Bill, the Pope on World Communications Day, just around Pentecost, yes, had a message this year about fake news and about journalism in general.
Yes.
And you were taken by this and have done some writing about it. Can you tell us a little bit about the Pope's message on World Communications Day?
Oh, yes. Well, it was the 52nd annual papal message on World Communications Day, inspired by a decree from Vatican II. And this one in particular struck me because it had Franciscan overtones and very timely themes, which really touched on things that have been, I think, concerning a lot of us, namely the rise of fake news, the rise of disinformation, the increase of polarization in our society and its conversations. So here was, amidst all of these concerns, a prominent and respected world leader speaking out and perhaps offering some suggestions, not only including some interesting points about journalism, but even a prayer with which he concluded his message. Mm-hmm. And paraphrasing the famous peace prayer of St. Francis in doing so, kind of implying that this is a big issue and needing a big solution.
And the Franciscan overtone certainly appealed to you, you yourself being a Third Order Franciscan,
yes,
Franciscan, and that probably immediately tuned into that peace prayer of St. Francis. But that you have called it sort of version 1.0, the one that's attributed
right
to St. Francis, and maybe Pope Francis offered the peace prayer 2.0.
That's right.
About journalism. What did he offer as a prayer there for journalism, for journalists, for how we think about our news?
Very interestingly, it followed very much the model, the prototype of version 1.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
Exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. And he tweaked that to say, Lord, make us instruments of your peace, which I thought was a powerful statement in itself, because nowadays, if this is a prayer for journalism, one thing that he realizes is that in these technological ages, we're all journalists in a sense. We're all both consumers and producers of news. Mm. We're kind of our own publishers, especially on social media. So I liked that aspect of it. And then he followed the model of Pope Francis, or the model of the Franciscanism expressed in version 1.0. Mm-hmm. The prayer was actually written anonymously.
Attributed
to Francis.
And keeping with his spirit nonetheless.
Very much so. Right. That was what was wonderful about it.
Yeah.
And so it basically is a guide for a big picture you might say human ecology, to quote our Pope, perspective on prayer, in that peace is a purpose for journalism, and it's a big picture problem that requires a holistic approach, everything from seeking faith where there's doubt and light where there's darkness. It's a big task. It's a big picture view of how we can solve the problem. Not an easy or pious, overly pious view, but a very practical one.
Mm. And you were taken by this so much that you wrote a small book on this.
Yes.
When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer?
Yes.
And I suppose the answer to that question is yes, we do have a prayer.
Yes.
The Pope has offered one.
That's what excited me.
But one of the things you comment on is that following Pope Francis's lead here, journalism itself is meant to be an instrument of peace. And
yes.
I think that would strike many of us as perhaps bizarre at this point, because we don't receive journalism and what's coming from the news as little seeds or modes of peace. But you're saying, no, this is in fact what journalism is meant to be.
That's right. Yes. The Pope has several really quite thought-provoking phrases. And one of them is seeking a journalism of peace. And it's a journalism that's not intended to harm, but is built around a pursuit of truth, and it's purposeful. It's for preserving the dignity of the human being, gathering conversations together around which people can talk about the news they've heard, the information that matters most to them. And too much of today's journalism, I'm afraid, is a journalism that's the opposite of peaceful. It's defamatory. It's disinformation. Mm-hmm. It's fake news, as the Pope says. And these things are kind of not purposely manipulated, perhaps, by the media themselves, but sometimes strategically prepackaged in the lobbyist halls of Washington, D.C., to point us against each other, to actually weaponize the information being shared. And that's not the purpose of journalism, I would think most people agree. And it's even there found in codes of ethics that journalists through the ages have promulgated, including the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics.
Mm. I think we all find ourselves probably in this day and age, unfortunately, echoing a question of Pontius Pilate. What is truth?
Oh,
right?
Yes,
exactly.
In a world
of fake news, we find ourselves saying the same thing. What is truth?
Yes.
And very much what the Pope is saying and what you're picking up on in this book is that journalism is meant to be in the service of truth.
Yes.
In the service of conveying and speaking in truth, to bring people together in a bond of truth.
Right.
What is, so this is sort of a larger question, I suppose, like what is the truth that we're seeking in our news and being informed and being engaged and being sort of minded civically and socially and all these other ways? What is the truth we're seeking or that we're due from journalism?
Well, that is a very good question. And truth is a conformity with reality. It's part of the higher version and vision of truth that Catholics are blessed with, that Christians are blessed with, when Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm.
There's something really substantive and personal about that.
Mm.
And so it is something that's concrete. And it's something that can unite people. It's something that stands above the fray and that we can be united in the pursuit of, rather than the relativistic approach that you mentioned, and a kind of narcissistic approach that dominates too much in society, where it's there is something that can unite us if we look for other people's perspectives, other sides of the truth, other dimensions of the truth, including outreach to the marginalized. I'm sure Pope Francis would point out,
who are often mute in the news.
Amen.
Muted.
Yes.
And it's done silence too.
Exactly. Right. And there's been a lot of commentary about that, the information gap in our society, for example. So yes, truth is the key, but in an age when truth has been somewhat marginalized and we don't quite know what truth is all the time, at the very least, there are some things that I think Pope Francis says, and that I would certainly believe, there are still things that can bring us together, one of them being the dignity of the human being, the chance for the individual and community to grow as they aspire to in their heart of hearts. And yeah, even if we don't quite know the details of a particular story or, you know, what might be the definitive truth, we need a sense of humility to know that, well, we're still on a journey where we're learning truth. And the truth will come out as a gradual process. We just have to be looking for it all the time.
Very good. You're listening to Church Life Today and Redeemer Radio. We're here talking with Bill Schmidt, author of When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer? One of the things you talked about, so in terms of truth, you're really stressing that it's personal communication. It's communication between persons that respects the person being informed, but also comes from persons who have been formed in a certain way to serve the truth, the formation of journalists, let's say. What do you think is important in terms of the formation of journalists to be servants of the truth, to really provide this public service?
That's one of the most exciting things that I think the Pope presents in his World Communications Day message, which he obviously gave a lot of thought to. Mm-hmm. And he comes up with some very interesting phrases that are certainly worth pondering in journalism ethics classes and other sociological studies of improving conversation in our time. One of them is the journalism of peace, which we've discussed. Mm-hmm. One of them is that journalists should be protectors of news, not letting it get hijacked by sloganeering and by the prepackaged strategies that are so easily handed to these folks. You know, still very well-meaning folks. So many wonderfully well-intentioned people go into journalism still today. Mm-hmm. But for all sorts of reasons, including the economics of the profession, everybody's looking to fill space quickly with these kind of oversimplifications. Everybody's looking for ratings. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things militating against the protection of news, which I take to mean avoiding these outbreaks of fake news and the labeling that goes on with disinformation. The Pope says that, well, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says that disinformation is not a victimless crime. Not only does it hurt the individual against whom it's brought, but also it kind of poisons the well of communication because trust erodes. And soon we see the conversation itself is kind of breaking down and people are scared to engage themselves in the public square, in the fray of problem solving, which every citizen deserves to be part of, is accountable to be part of. And lastly, a nice phrase that he uses is that the heart of information is people, is persons, and not the speed with which it's delivered or the impact that it might have. Mm-hmm. It is ultimately about persons. Information is not inseparable from formation. We have, all of us, a vocation to discovering more the truth of ourselves and others and our communities and polities. And that leads to the last point, which is that it is all about community. It almost is a implicit reflection of what the Catholic social teaching would call subsidiarity. Mm. We've become so obsessed with national news and the entertainment value of these major national TV shows and pundits and all of that talking about the same old stuff every day, really.
Right.
We've forgotten that a lot of the information that we need to be exchanging with each other and pondering, mm-hmm. to use a wonderful word from Our Lady, the information kind of should bubble up from the grassroots of the public square, of the local communities. And, of course, that's an area of economics such that local newspapers and local media have suffered great cutbacks. And so what we're left is with these monoliths. And so we need to contemplate, you know, where their true vocation is and where their true sources of news are.
Right, right. So one of the things you're talking about there, it seems, is this 24-hour news cycle where
yes.
we have to continually fill space and time.
Yes.
And who owns the space and the time but these mass media corporations? And so our attention gets drawn farther and farther away from where we actually are into the big headlines of the day. So we end up knowing much more about what's going on in Washington, D.C. and halfway around the world sometimes than we do what's going on down the street in our own communities.
Yes.
So this principle of subsidiarity.
Yes.
Do you think there is the possibility of finding a space in between, on the one hand, mass media,
right,
and on the other hand, completely user-generated material news that we find, you know, just on social media, where I'm a news creator and you're a news creator,
right,
we're all news creators.
Yes.
Right? But many of us, unlike you, are untrained. So where is there a space for the trained professional journalists who can serve this principle of subsidiarity between mass media and user-generated content?
Yes, very much so, I think. And that's partly the job of our secular and Catholic higher ed institutions as they teach journalism. They really need to teach some basic principles to both the people who will make a career creating the news and the people who will live as collectors of and conveyors of news to their own audiences.
Yeah.
And another aspect is that we all need to educate ourselves for truth. That's another term he uses, education for truth, which to me means actual discernment of what we're after. And
what are we looking for when we go in search of the news?
Exactly.
Are you saying that?
Yes. Are we looking for sensationalism? Are we looking for entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really looking for, I hope, is some kind of fulfillment of our natural God-given curiosity to learn more, to penetrate hidden truths more, and to thereby inform ourselves and to not let our thoughts be what the term I use is newsjacked. In other words,
so you can be carjacked.
Exactly.
In this case, you can be newsjacked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty scary idea.
Yeah.
But I think it really does happen. And how those so easy to remember sound bites and labels dished out every night on TV can poison the well, even at the local level, if we're not careful. And we have to remember that news is happening all around us every day. A lot of it is very good. A lot of it is drawn from civic life and family life, the things that genuinely concern us as human beings. And these things are, you know, the prime things that journalists and consumers of journalism should be learning. So it comes from maybe some schools who would care to do this, but also pastors like St. Francis in his own pastoral heart, and other people who need to start talking about it.
Yeah. You're listening to Church Life Today on Redeemer Radio. We're talking with Bill Schmidt, author of When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer? You mentioned discernment there, the importance of discernment to really for each of us as consumers, but also as producers of news.
That's right.
To ask the question, like, what are we looking for? It strikes me that the most important element of discernment, or let's say the element of discernment you cannot do without, is silence.
Well,
right?
Said.
To be able
yes.
to listen, which means like to take breaks from the constant noise.
The noise, exactly.
So my question there is there too much news?
Yeah.
Are we always just tuning in, listening to too much noise? And that gets in the way of our possibilities for discernment, to really have a center where we're trying to thoughtfully and authentically listen for things that matter.
Yes. There have been all sorts of books and spiritual reflections and homilies mentioning this exact desperate need to return a sense of silence, an ability to listen, and an ability to ponder when we consume news, and to kind of categorize the material that's really not going to take us anywhere constructive, and the pieces that really could prompt new questions, new curiosity, new appreciation for God's gifts, also for God's presence in the journeys of individual lives, because so often it's so easy now to condemn people or to judge people or to defame people merely based on one thing that's been heard, one piece of defamation that's been out there. And we really need to take that silent time and pray about the news.
Mm. seem to be appealing to the skills that we unfortunately learn in middle school to let gossip rule the day. And so the news, the sort of news awareness becomes that, these little lines of misinformation that become the sort of gossip that form our consciences.
That's
and the
right.
silence is a break from that form of idolatry. Of,
well said, yes.
Of sort of worshiping these little ideas that come along that oftentimes aren't from a place of heart.
Yes, yeah. That's a very good point. And ironically, you know, we've become much more these wild and crazy generators of ideas and memes and opinions. But at the same time, because of the torrent of information that's being thrown at us all the time, what I call it is information inflation. In other words, there's so much of it that each individual piece of it is less important in our minds.
And it causes – it stirs up sort of anxiety in each of us that wants to speak, right? We have to say it louder and more spectacularly. Right? And we're saying this on the radio, I recognize, you know, with complete irony, right? We'll start shouting here soon, folks. Don't worry, to make sure that you can hear us. Well, how about your own formation as a Franciscan? You've been a member of the Third Order Franciscan for quite some time. But you've also been a lifelong communicator, a career in journalism, all kinds of, especially print media. What for you personally, what do you think has been important for you from that, from the Franciscan spirituality and your formation as a Franciscan, to be a communicator who serves peace, who tries to build bridges of truth?
Well, my very first impression there is that whatever I say, please understand as an ongoing journey, because I'm failing every day. But I think that I did learn, especially because I was in the specialized, oftentimes the business or professional press before coming to the communications world in higher education. My emphasis was on communicating to lay people, but also to CEOs and scientists and others, a basic and a very accurate view of, you know, what's being learned without trying to make these punditry judgments, because these folks really just want to know the facts, ma'am, as they said on Dragnet. And just the facts. And so I guess the Franciscan aspect of that that I tried to pick up and still try to pick up is the humility of a journalist, ideally, where it really is listening, it really is trying to understand, it really is trying to present a person's insights and information in a way that respects his or her dignity, and that therefore empowers the readers or the viewers to take it from there. And whereas the punditry could really just short-circuit the whole process of further learning. So humility. And then, of course, one might say penitence, because St. Francis certainly established the Third Order as an order of penitence. And that means that the search for truth is even harder than we might think, because we're going to be self-donating in our time and in our energy to try to make things better. That's that purpose-driven journalism. And so if I can just follow those basic rules and stimulate discussions with other people about those rules as a next step toward healing the polarization in our society, et cetera, my book will have been a success.
Very good. How important has it been for you as a Third Order Franciscan to share that journey with others in the particular fraternity of which you're a part? To be in real place in real time with people regularly to pray together, to speak together.
We do have in our fraternity ongoing formation, small group circles of conversation every month built around the gospel, because the whole maxim of Franciscanism is taking life to the gospel and gospel to life. And so a lot of very timely topics come up in connection with our reading of scripture, et cetera. And these folks, seeing it from their own nitty-gritty, everyday perspective of how peoples are consuming news, et cetera, they inspire me. And these are stories that are genuinely interesting and, frankly, much more interesting than the labels and maxims that that come out of the lobbyists' strategic planning offices.
But, I mean, this strikes me as really important what you're saying, because you were talking earlier about the need for subsidiarity to return to more local environments.
Yes.
And local news. And I think what you're sharing is from this Franciscan spirituality and this fraternity, you're joining together regularly in small faith-sharing groups
exactly.
around the gospel.
Yes.
Where you actually get to know your neighbor.
Exactly.
Personally.
Right.
And not just be absorbed into the mass production of slogans and headlines, like you're saying.
Exactly.
So what a beautiful sort of antidote in the small way
exactly.
of the Franciscan tradition against what seems to be plaguing us so much.
I really have felt for a long time that Franciscanism is one of the cures for what ails us. And it really is part of the simplicity, the humility, the listening, the community building. And in both prayers 1 and 2,
The Peace Prayer, attributed to St. Francis, and point two by Pope Francis.
Right.
Okay.
It's just a very beautifully big picture approach to making peace. Everything from, filling in the gaps. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's darkness, light. Mm-hmm. And you always have to be kind of aware of that. News consumers as well as news producers have to be conscious of that. And then that wonderful line, Divine Master, help me to not so much be concerned with being understood, but understanding,
mm-hmm.
and not so much being consoled, but consoling.
Mm.
So you really have to kind of place yourself as a journalist, I'm afraid, and this is tough because journalism attracts a lot of egos, naturally, and you need strong egos to be good pundits, I guess.
I'm in the academy. Lots of egos here, too. Don't worry about it.
I guess they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere, yeah. But to take a step back, to break from that.
Exactly.
The grind of the ego and to have space for humility.
Exactly.
Yeah,
very exactly.
good. Well, I have benefited greatly from reading your book.
Thank you so much.
Drawn further attention to Pope Francis's message on World Communication Day and his prayer, the Franciscan prayer,
yes.
to make us instruments of peace in journalism. Bill, where can people find the book or follow up on some of your thinking?
Oh, well, thank you. The book itself is available as a paperback and as an ebook at Amazon. All folks have to do is search for When Headlines Hurt,
mm-hmm.
which is the first part of the name of the book. And my blogs on those and other issues are at onward.net. That's purposely misspelled.
Onward.
onward.net. Yes, exactly.
Very good.
And I hope to continue conversations across the board and very much appreciate this one.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for joining us today, Bill. Bill
Thank
Schmidt,
you.
Author of When Headlines Hurt, Do We Have a Prayer? Thanks to all of our listeners for joining us today. We'll talk to you next time.